Thank you. It's been a busy week, as Patrick alluded to, with the schedule coming out this week, and I know quite a bit was talked about yesterday, and then with the hiring of a new coach, and hopefully we can have a second one in place here pretty quickly, and also trying to finish up recruiting. It has been a busy couple weeks here as we've been kind of going down the stretch. I think there's two things that are going to change the product that we put on the field from 2013 to 2014. And one is the development of the young men that are on our football team now. I know a lot of it talked about when we get into spring practice, some of the young guys that weren't able to play a year ago, like Paul Turner and Carlos Henderson and a lot of those guys. But in the development of it, I think that's why I feel so fortunate to have a guy like Kurt Hester and to see what he's doing right now with his football team, to see their buy-in factor and the way that they're working. Really is exciting to see the development a lot of these guys are making right now to their bodies physically, flexibility-wise, and everything else. I just think he's doing an outstanding job that I definitely think is going to go a long way towards helping our program as we move forward with the development side of it. But today is about these 21 young men and recruiting, because that's the second way that you're going to change your roster, is by recruiting and bringing in players that you feel give you a better opportunity to run your systems and be able to be successful on the field. When you put together a recruiting class, I think there's two questions you're trying to answer. One, who's going to fill the short-term needs that we have as a football team? When we look at some of our inadequacies a year ago, you try and make sure that you can answer your short-term goals so you can improve from year 2013 to 2014. But I also think you've got to answer some long-term goals. I don't think it's just about going and filling 20 guys that are going to answer short-term goals, but it's about bringing high school players in that have loyalty to this school, to this state, that are going to be here, that are going to develop, that we're going to be talking about a lot of these guys in 2018 as they are here developing as players and developing as young men and having the opportunity to get their degree. So today I'm excited to announce the 21 signees that were able to sign national letters of intent and scholarship papers today that we've been able to release, with 13 of them being on offense. There's seven of them on defense and one of them as a specialist, with where we are right now. And that's kind of the breakdown and the numbers that signed. I think the emphasis as we got into recruiting in this class was in the state of Louisiana. We have signed 11, over half of them are from the state of Louisiana, and there was a good many more that we offered and fought like heck to try and keep right here at home, and we're going to continue to do so. But excited about the young men that decided to stay close to home. There is two from the Shreveport area here on the I-20 corridor that are coming in that we're excited about. But I think probably the thing that I am most excited about this class is I was last year's class. Last year, we had 100% of our signees were here the first day of camp. We're here in the summer, and we're here. I think so many times people are trying to win in February and make splashes on signing day, but when you look at the roster, many of them don't get to the program. They don't get there. We can talk a lot about them today, but they don't get to the program. And a year ago, we were 100% with those young men that signed, and we're here in summer school, and we're able to start camp, and I feel very confident that this class will be in the same boat, and I expect 100% of them to be here, and that I am not... We're not just signing players to sign names. We're trying to sign players that are going to come in here and make a difference and be here for the long run when you start talking about high school players. The biggest question that everybody asks in recruiting, who do you feel can play right away? Who in the class can make an immediate impact? Who's going to answer that short-term goal? Who's going to solve that problem for us right away? And I think that's going to come from a couple answers. I think it's going to come from the phase I talked about earlier, the development. We talked about speed at wide receiver. And when I look at Carlos Henderson and Paul Turner and the addition of a guy like Sanford C., a junior college player coming in who was a first-team All-State selection in the state of Georgia coming out of high school, and the speed and athleticism that he brings. I think, obviously, you ask your junior college players, you ask the development with some of the guys that have been in the program to step up. The junior college players are going to play a huge role in that short term, and I expect every one of them to come in and make an immediate impact. And by that, I say Sanford C., Wixon, and Sharp. Excuse me. and Sharp are all three young men that I expect to make an immediate impact in this program with three junior college players. But before you can ask a freshman to play, and I say all the time that in order for a freshman to play, I think an upperclassman has to give him the opportunity. And right now, I think there's some areas where some people are going to be able to make an immediate impact. We talked about the junior college players, but I think the two quarterbacks are going to have an opportunity to come in and compete. Obviously, it's not a secret that was not a position of productivity for us a year ago, and I think the more competition that we can get, and I think what Bryce Wilson and what Alex Woodall bring to the table are two totally different skill talents. I think Alex being a 6'3", 235-pound quarterback that can run and throw and bring some versatility and some athleticism at that position, and Bryce Wilson with his touch and his arm and his throwing ability, I think brings you more of a throwing quarterback. So I think they're both very different and have a unique skill set as they come in here, and I definitely think those two are going to have an opportunity to compete for playing time as soon as they arrive on campus. The other spot, which has kind of not been, we haven't even had on our roster, has been a tight end, H-back, a big body wide receiver, and that's where I look at a guy like Cameron McKnight. I think Cameron McKnight is a very explosive player. A lot of people recruited him as a tailback, as a wide receiver, as a linebacker, as a defensive end. I mean, he's been recruited as a lot of different things. But I think he's got a chance to find his way onto the field as well as a guy like Michael Rodriguez, who I think is a very large individual at 6'5", 250 pounds. He's very athletic. You look at his highlight films and the things he can do, I think guys like that have a chance to make an impact because of the hole that's there. I also think some of these guys are going to have an opportunity because of their skill set. I look at a guy like Jared Kraft coming in and what he does from Houghton and his size and speed and athleticism, and he is built like a Kenneth Dixon as a big, durable back that can do a lot of different things, and we feel very fortunate to have a guy with his talents and abilities. On the defensive side of the ball, some of the guys that I think have a chance to make an immediate impact, kind of all the linebackers and safeties are going to have a chance because of our lack of depth at both. When you look at a year ago bringing in guys like Pinson and McDonald, and to see what Xavier Woods did as a freshman and starting in 12 games, and I also think that guys like Cedric Cooper, who is a big safety at 195 pounds, big body guys like that, all three of the linebackers, when I look at Russell Ferris, I think is an athlete that we signed, could be a safety, could be an outside linebacker, could be a strong safety, could do a number of things, but I think that the safeties, linebackers are all going to have an opportunity, and I think a couple of these defensive linemen are going to have a shot coming in here. Really impressed with Jalen Ferguson with the size and athleticism that he brings, and you look at the hole that was created by IK Inipali, the hole that was created with Justin Ellis walking out, and with 22, Kendrick James, Shaq Lucas. I'm glad you guys are here. Help me. I got a lot of names running through my head right now. But Shaq Lucas and Kendrick James, with those four seniors walking out, a guy like Canty and a guy like Ferguson, I think have a chance to come in, as well as Cedric Johnson, and make an immediate impact. So I'm anxious to get these guys here, excited that we have got the national letters of intent, them signed and in the books. But I'm also really excited about them getting here in the summer and starting to get on the field and see where they are when you compare them to our players and how ready they are to play as freshmen. So with that being said, what questions could I answer about anything about this signing class?
With this being your first one, a full signing class,
yes.
I guess just talk to the viewers and just all of us over here, just the advantages you have being able to say, you know, this is a class that my staff put together.
Right.
It's not maybe something that was already
built. Well, last year was a year that a lot of those guys were found with 2 and 3 weeks left in recruiting, because we had talked about coming in here, not having a big list, not having a lot of those things in place. We kind of came in and tried to scurry a class together to fit our needs as quick as we can. This year, there's two things that happened with this class. One, we were able to begin our recruiting process a year ago. So you were able to get these young men in camp, identify them, get to know them as people, really evaluate where they were as students, and be able to make sure that you knew everything about the signees that you had, not kind of putting them together and going, wow, I hope he can play. You know what I mean? I hope he's as good as we think. But I think just the familiarity with them with us and us with them, going back and forth, I think is a huge part of it. The second thing is we got an opportunity to evaluate our team. Like I said a year ago when I stood at this podium, we're signing these players, but I don't know what we have. We hadn't had a spring practice. We hadn't been with our players out on the field. We had graduated 10 starters on offense. We didn't know who our backups were, who are any of the starters were going to be. We have a much better feeling for what we needed, and that's why when you talk about playmaking speed, big playability at the running back and wide receiver position was definitely an emphasis in this class. Offensive linemen were definitely an emphasis in this class because before they were just names on the board. Now you got a pretty good idea on who's going to be. A guy like Darryl Brown is going to be a starter here one day. You know, a guy like that is going to develop. I feel really good about, so he's not just a name on the board. So I think those are the two biggest differences in having a full year: your ability to know more about your recruits and be able to sign them, and also answer feeling better about the class that you're not just signing them, but your answer and needs that you have on your football team. And that's what I think everybody's goal is today across the country, is to sign the young men that have an opportunity to come in and strengthen them where they have their biggest emphasis or their biggest needs.
You look at Baton Rouge, five players out of the Baton Rouge mm-hmm. area, out of the 11 in the whole state.
Yeah.
Signed out of there. Joe Sloan did some really good work down there, especially for really a first-year coach.
Yes.
In his first full class. Talk about how important Baton Rouge was for y'all.
Well, I think Baton Rouge and New Orleans both, when you look at it, 9 of the 11 came out of the Baton Rouge, New Orleans area. And I don't know where that ranks as far as numbers in the past and how the emphasis that's been put into that area. But when you look at the population in the state, obviously that's the largest population mass on that I-10 corridor in those two cities. And having Jabbar Jalouk down in New Orleans and the difference he made, because I think Joe and Jabbar worked a lot together in that area, being as close as they were together. But I thought Joe Sloan did an outstanding job. And when you talk about not just the numbers that he signed, but the players that he signed, when you look at who he held off with Cameron McKnight and the number of offers that that young man had, and for him to make his decision to say no to all those out-of-state schools, and I'm staying here and I'm going to Louisiana Tech. And the same thing with Jalen Ferguson, who's another young man right in that area, who said no to some SEC opportunities and offers and some people that were beating down his doors. Those were two of the guys going down the stretch that we were kind of biting our nails on, because there were a lot of people that were still trying to pick at him. And when somebody lost somebody, they'd come in on him, and I was like, Coach, I'm set. I'm good. I'm going to Louisiana Tech. I'm comfortable with it. And I think Joe Sloan did a great job of developing relationships with the families and the young men and selling them on Louisiana Tech and how Louisiana Tech can help them achieve their goals academically, athletically, and to have the opportunity to be part of this family and this close knit. But I thought he really did an outstanding job of recruiting the area. And again, the number of high school coaches that have relayed to me the relationship, his follow-up, and not just the names that we see on the paper, but guys that didn't sign, that he's back going to meet with the high school coaches and telling them what the young man needs to be able to get eligible and those type of things. I think he's done a great job. But Joe's a young man that played for me, was really impressed with him, never made a B in college. I mean, was an intelligent young man, a committed young man, I thought was going to be a great coach. Having the opportunity to watch him as a graduate assistant, he's across the T's and dot the I guys. So even though it's his first full year to go out and recruit, it does not surprise me that he has kind of dug his heels into Baton Rouge the way that he has. Done a great job.
When you look at McKnight, many would probably call him your best signee of the class.
Mm-hmm.
And you have him on campus for an official visit in December.
Yep.
And signing day's in February.
And you're holding on.
and he didn't commit to you guys until this week.
Right.
Talk about what that's like as a coach to know that he's making these visits. He could be going somewhere else, even though you did make an impression on whenever he was on campus.
And that's part of the nerve-wracking part, you know. And the other part of it is the young men that they commit early and then leave, you know, because, and that's probably harder. I mean, when the young men commit and then make a decision to go to another school, because you try and do it right. You try and be honest. You try and be up front. You offer a young man a scholarship. He commits. And, you know, then all of a sudden you tell everybody else, we're full, we're done at that position, we're not taking anymore. And when he leaves, it's hard to get back in the race. But I would much rather they do it like Cameron McKnight did it, where they don't make a decision. You know that he's out there. You know you got to keep recruiting him. You got to keep talking to him, selling him, reminding him of all the things that he liked about his visit while he was here on this campus. And like I said, that's where I think Joe did such a great job, is with the development. And it's hard. It's nerve-wracking, because you know that you want him. And I think he has a chance to really come in here and be a difference maker. And I think two guys like that from the Baton Rouge area, and I can't say enough about Canny, some of the other opportunities that he had, and coming in here as a 250-pound defensive end. I think he's explosive. He's strong. He's quick. He's athletic. I think guys like that are going to have an opportunity to really continue the tradition that Stan Egan has built here, and doing a great job of identifying defense alignment and bringing guys in here that have a chance to make a difference.
You mentioned quarterbacks, and you said that they would obviously have to usurp the people that are already on the roster. So what do transfer quarterbacks and young quarterbacks in general have to do to succeed in your program?
Give me that one more time.
Because you mentioned the fact that anyone that came in as a freshman would have to obviously do better than the starters you already have.
Right, correct.
So what would a quarterback have to do to play right away?
Well, I think they're going to have to come in, and how quickly are they going to be able to pick up the offense? And it's not as a quarterback. You know, as a receiver, I learn on this route, I run a curl route. You know, and I run a curl route, whether it's two deep or three deep, whether it's third down, whether it's first down. As a quarterback, you not only have to know what your responsibilities are and what the 11 guys on offense, but you've got to be able to read what the 11 guys on defense are doing. And so I think it's how quickly they're going to be able to pick that up. But I think the key is going to be, who moves the ball and who protects it. And that's really two things we were not able to do this year. We weren't able to do that. We weren't able to move the ball, and whether that be with your skill set, being with your feet, you know, and being able to scramble around and make plays happen, whether that be is because of you're able to read the zone read and pull the ball and become more of a runner, or if that's if you're able to sit in the pocket and throw a ball down the field and keep it in the field of play, you know, and give our receivers an opportunity to make a play. It's going to be a heck of a competition, because I think we're going to go into this fall camp with four quarterbacks, all that have the talent to play here. But it's going to be who gives you the best opportunity to win. And those freshmen are going to be in the equation. But that's going to be their biggest challenge, as any young player is coming in and picking up the offense or the defense and seeing how ready they are to step on the field and play, especially when you look at the beginning part of our season, which is those first six games are going to be, you know, we're going to have to come out of the gates running.
You mentioned South Louisiana recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
The whole state, I mean, you've been at a lot of different places throughout your career. Where does the state rank? Because, I mean, you got, you know, all these recruiting services, some which, you know, might not have know what they're saying, but,
right.
You know, top 40 guys, you might have gotten one or two, but you still get quality guys from the state. I mean, just does that show the depth, I guess, of the state and how –
I think
there's guys all over the place.
There are guys all over the place in the state, and that's we talked about when you talk. Look at the emphasis. I mean, it's not only we signed 11, but yet I bet you we offered, you know, 50. You know, when you look at them and you start talking about the top 40, and you know, you watch that they're going to Alabama, they're going to LSU. You know, they're going to some of the top programs in the country. And I think it shows you that the respect that the country has for this state and the type of athletes that come out of it. We went against the Pac-12 in this state. We went against the Big 12. We went against the Big 10. We went against the SEC. I mean, there was the ACC. There's almost every conference recruits in some fashion the state of Louisiana, and I think it's out of respect for the high school coaches and the athletes that are in this state, and that's why we're not getting on planes and flying all over the country and trying to go search everywhere. It's one of the great things about being at Louisiana Tech is you can recruit in a car. I mean, because you can drive within 4 hours and you can find 25 young men that want to be here that want to play close to home, that want to represent this school, that are good enough for us to achieve our goals of winning the conference and being competitive at the highest level that we can. And so I think it speaks volumes for this state. I think there's a tremendous amount of talent here, and I think the high school coaches in this state do a really good job of the development, and they have opened us as a new staff walking in here with open arms. So I can't say enough positive things about the athletes in the state, the football in the state, and the high school coaching in the state.
No, Manny Diaz hasn't really been on staff too long. Mm-hmm. What impact do you think he had in his short term here, recruiting and defensively? Obviously, that was a big question mark last year. How do you think he did in terms of getting some guys to kind of shore up those holes?
Well, I think when Coach Diaz walked in here, and I know we're going to talk more about him on Monday, you know, about the overall hiring and his the impact that he had. But I think when he walked in here, what he brought is having the opportunity to evaluate the linebackers that we were able to take. Rather than signing all the linebackers and then having him come in and go, okay, this is what I've been handed. He had the opportunity to watch him, to see him, to say, this is what I like about him and him. A guy like, Solomon Hunter over in San Antonio, I mean, was a name that he was familiar with. And when he came in here, that we picked up the phone and called him and brought him in. And you're looking at a 6'2", 210-pound athlete that can run, that played tailback, that played linebacker, and the things that he could do. So I think he had a huge hand, obviously, in the linebackers, because two of them we've signed here in the last week. You know, two of the linebackers that are in this class, and I think a big part of that was him, and where he was able to turn and look at a young man and say, that's the guy I want.
Peterson, in y'all's signing day deal earlier today, said that Price Wilson has a bigger arm than both Chad Pennington and Byron Leftwich had coming out of high school. How big of a statement is that? And what did you see of Price Wilson on tape?
Well, on tape, you see a young man who's got touch on the deep ball, can throw, and that's something that we did not do very well, having touch on the deep ball, being able to throw a ball in stride, you know, and I thought he did that extremely well. Hard to evaluate arm strength on film, and I have not seen him throw live since he wasn't in one of our camps. I was not being able to go out in the spring is a disadvantage for a head coach where you really have to rely on your assistants and what they see. But I will tell you the comment that he made to me after he went and watched Price throw. He said, Coach, he throws it like Zeus. I mean, he said he throws the ball as well as anybody I've ever been around. He said, when you look at his release and the way the ball comes off his hand and the arm strength that he has, what impressed me about him was not as much the physical skills that Tony was able to evaluate live, but was having the opportunity to sit down and put him on a board and hear his understanding of defenses and drop your favorite play and tell me how you read it and tell me what you were looking at and to see the way that he understands the big picture. That's what really impressed me. And, you know, to go back to the question earlier about who plays early as a freshman or guys that are going to come in with that type of development. And so I think he is a very talented young man, and I'm anxious to see him get here. I'm anxious to see Zeus throw a football.
Your offensive line, of course, struggled last year. Y'all took several in this class.
You think?
Maybe. talk about the offensive line signees you did get. Of course, a couple of mid-year guys, Kirby Wixon, likely to be your starting center as long
yes.
as he is. But just talk about the other guys.
You know, you look at Kirby Wixon who came in, and Kirby was a young man that we had committed in the summer. And I just think we are really lucky and fortunate to be able to hang on to him and land him and get him here. He is at 320 pounds. He brings a whole lot more girth to the center of your offensive line. He brings that anchor right in the middle. Same thing. I think he's very intelligent. But what's really impressed me since he's been on campus have been his work habits. Because I think a lot of guys come in with talent, but it's those that learn how to work every day to develop their talent and their skills are the ones that are going to become your great players. And that's something that's really impressed me with him. I think he brings a starting ability to your offensive line, which we really need because we're going to have to rebuild that offensive line from a year ago with a number of the starters that are leaving that were seniors. But I also think a guy like Blake Sharp, who is a big, strong, athletic. He can play guard. He can play tackle. We played in the national championship game in junior college. Big, strong, athletic. He's not necessarily heavy. He's very lean and athletic and strong, and he plays the game with a mindset. And then, as I talked about, guys like that, and then there's also a guy like Joe Brunson, who's from right here at Ruston High School, and for him to transfer back and to see his development and the way that he has worked and having to sit out last year after coming home with some family issues that brought him back home, and to see the way that he's matured, he's a guy that wasn't there a year ago that I think is going to make us better as a football team. So when you take that, you bring three starters into your program right away to compete with the Darryl Browns and the Trey Carters and the Mitchell Bells and the Rich Greenwalds and some of those guys that are going to be upperclassmen. So I don't know that, you know, right now with where we are, we took two transfers late. We took Daniel Cobb and Sterling. We're two guys that we took late that were able to come in and become starters for us last year. And with where we are right now, we still have a couple scholarships available, and I think it's important at a school like Louisiana Tech as we're trying to build it. I don't want to build it just on two-year junior college players, but I think in being able to bring in a couple transfers, being able to bring in a couple junior college players, being able to redshirt some young men and then have them, I think that's how you build it from a long-term picture standpoint. So hopefully we're not done with that, but I feel really good about the offensive linemen that are here right now, and I think adding three starters to a group that really needs it, I think we've got a chance to be much improved on the offensive line. But we've got to improve there to give our quarterbacks more time to be able to throw the ball, to open up more holes for our running backs. A guy like Kenneth Dixon and what he can do when he has some room. We've got to get better on our offensive line, but we've got to get better at a lot of areas at receiver, on the offensive side of the ball. And I think speed at receiver and some offensive linemen are two of the needs. When you look at, I believe we signed 11 off our offense, were at those two positions, the offensive line and the wide receivers.
You talk about the numbers. You didn't sign a full 25 this year.
Right.
Are you holding some for maybe some more later to be signed? What's the situation with the numbers?
Exactly. I mean, and that's what we've tried to do. It's the same thing we did a year ago. I think we went through signing day where we had three extra. We're able to take a couple transfers after the signing date because you never know what's going to happen with a young man falling through the cracks, somebody that graduates that's looking for a new home that may try and answer some needs. So I think right now we're up against the wall with our 25 initials, and I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, full when somebody says, wow, I'd really like to have the opportunity to go to Louisiana Tech, and you have to say we can't take them because we're full. So I think it's important to always come out of signing date. I don't think it's about, I don't want to settle and just take some people to take them to say we got somebody there. I would rather hold on to a scholarship and use it again a year from now than I would settle, because I've said all along that I'm not worried about the ones that we lose or we don't take. I'm worried about the ones we take, because the ones we take, we're going to have to watch play for 4 and 5 years. The ones that maybe we don't take, we may have to watch them play 4 times. So I think that's kind of one of the philosophies we've had with recruiting, is we want to come out of signing day with a couple scholarships still in our hip pocket, just in case some of those transfers, like we talked about with Daniel and Sterling, were able to show up, because I thought they were a great contribution to our team last year as two guys that came in to make an immediate impact.
Where do walk-ons fit in? I mean, if you don't use them, you always talk about walk-on getting an opportunity to start a scholarship.
Exactly. And when you look at our 85 number right now, we were significantly under it a year ago. And that's even putting on, I believe, 4 walk-ons a year ago that we put on scholarship. And so I would say this year is going to be more of the same. There's some walk-ons in this program that obviously have made a difference. When you look at Hunter Lee, when you look at, you know, a lot of the players that have walked on here and have made an impact, but I also look at some of the young guys. I look at a Marlon Seitz. I mean, Kyle Fisher last year was a walk-on as our kicker, is a young man that'll be up for a scholarship this year as he stepped on the field. C.J. Cleveland is a guy that has been in the program that is a guy that will probably earn a scholarship here. I mean, there's a number of guys that have come in as freshmen and gone through that development stage we talked about earlier that have developed into really good football players that have a chance to contribute on this team. But I said it's ironic because here's Marlon Seitz recruiting a Jared Kraft from the same high school to come into this program, and they play the same position. You know, and here are two guys that knew each other in high school, played the same position, come here, and now they're playing it together in college. But I see Marlon as another guy that'll be in that. So I think there will probably be another three or four walk-ons that have an opportunity to earn a scholarship on this football team. And like I said, with the development, with the redshirting, with the walk-ons, with the transfers, with the junior college players, with the high school players, it all comes together at the end to make a football team. And that's what we're trying to put together right now to answer a lot of the needs that we have.
From your perspective, what makes a recruiting class successful short-term and then long-term? I know you mentioned about you didn't want to have all junior college transfers.
Right. No, I don't. Well, and I think that was one of the things that we fought when we came, is when you look at a class of 32 walking out the door, it's very hard to fill that. You know what I mean? It's very hard to fill that with 32 freshmen, and then you're going to be a young team for 3 or 4 years while you redshirt and develop those guys. I think what makes a successful class, A, is they get here. I mean, a lot of people, everybody in the country loves a recruiting class right now, but to sit here and say that we feel 100% of them are going to be here in the fall makes me feel a lot better, because it's not somebody that we're sitting here talking about that's not going to be in a uniform in the fall. And so I think that's the first part that makes a recruiting class successful, is that you're actually signing guys that are going to get into college, that are going to be here, that are going to have an opportunity to put this uniform on, because without that, they can't help you. And then the other thing that makes it is who answers your short-term goals. It's not that you took a transfer or an upperclassman or a junior college player, but who answers a need for you right now? And I think right now when you talk it, you know, we're not looking to take a transfer tailback or a junior college tailback because we feel pretty good with that position with where we are. And I'd much rather bring in a Jared Kraft who's going to come in here, who's got a chance to play as a freshman, but is also going to develop. And he's a young man that we're going to be talking about in 2018 running the football at Louisiana Tech. So, I mean, if you can answer short-term goals and long-term goals with your freshmen, I think obviously that gives you a chance to make a huge splash. But I think I feel really good about this class because I think it answers needs across the board. We got some of the defense alignment we wanted. We need depth at linebacker, signing three linebackers, signing some speed at wide receiver, some offense alignment, two quarterbacks, which I think we really need in this program right now. I feel like we answered a lot of the needs, and we've got people here that are going to be here in the fall to compete. Yes. Well, Broderick is, I mean, obviously the success that they had on the field this year, and that goes back to when we had the opportunity to see some of the players in the spring. They were here in the summer for camp, having an opportunity to build relationships with them, to see them live, to watch them play basketball, you know, to go through all that, and then for them to stay close to home. I mean, I think both of those young men were early commits. I mean, they both committed here in the summer, and both of them hung on. You know, both of them hung on, and some other people came in and tried to recruit them, and it was like, Coach, I'm going to Louisiana Tech. I mean, and so I talked about Jared, but I think and the talents and abilities that he brings with his size and athleticism as a running back, but we need playmakers on the edge. We need playmakers at the wide receiver, big play, explosive plays. And I think one of the big reasons that Parkway was sitting there playing in the state championship game was, I mean, Broderick as well as the guy throwing it to him and some other players that were around him. But when you look at his big play potential, he made a lot of big plays for that football team, and he brings one of those explosive weapons to the field that we talked about that I think we need. Coming in here with his, I mean, he's going to need to put on weight. He's going to need to continue to develop, and I think it's going to be harder to get in at the receiver position. But again, with his speed and ability, athleticism, he's definitely a guy that's going to have a chance, and he's also coming out of this offense as a wide receiver, so he understands it extremely well.
Obviously, you weren't here for the whack days or whatever, but you know, a little bit earlier last year, we were talking about the impact that it'll have overall, and recruiting was one of them. I guess, was there comments and stuff from players and coaches during this whole process that said, you know, we're glad to see you in the CUSA?
Well, there were. I mean, and you look at, as we talked about, just the two young men from Shreveport, you know, who talk about playing close to home, and the guys from Baton Rouge and the guys from New Orleans and the ones from in this state who were talking about, you know what, we want to have an opportunity to see our son play, or we want an opportunity to play in front of our family and friends. And when you start talking Conference USA and you're talking, you're going to have a chance to play at Southern Miss, at North Texas, at Rice, at, you know, you start looking at the nucleus around us, and it's that same thing. Most of it's within a 4 or 5 hour car ride. I think every one of our road games this year is, what's that?
11 of 12 games,
people have an opportunity to get in a car and either come to Ruston or go see us play on the road. And that was a hard statement to make when you were in the WAC. You know, I mean, unless you were in for a 3-day car trip, you know, to get there. I mean, that was a hard statement to make. But I think all that definitely went into it. And when you look at the emphasis, I don't know what percentage of this class is from Louisiana compared to the past when we were in the WAC. But I think it has a huge impact, and players want to stay close at home and playing in front of family and friends and high school coaches and things like that. And that's why some of the young men from this state made the decision to stay at home.
A year ago, you talked about hiring coaches that would have a major impact in recruiting. Jabbar Jalouk being in the high schools in New Orleans.
Yes.
Tim Rattay knowing the school in the state. Joe Sloan being a relentless recruiter. Stan Egan keeping on staff because he's done this for 5-6 years now with Louisiana Tech. A year later, how would you evaluate their performance with this class and what they've done throughout the state and the region?
Well, I think there's two things with it. You recruit an area and you recruit a position, you know, is what you do. And I know it was frustrating for a Tim Rattay, who worked as hard as anybody in recruiting and is sitting in an area where he's offering young men and maybe losing one here to an SEC school or losing one there. And this is really his first opportunity to get on the road and recruit as well. And so I think there was some of that was frustrating for him, but I don't evaluate the recruiting just on who they signed, you know, because a lot of this is cross-referencing where, as a receiver coach, Tim Rattay is overseeing Broderick or downseeing Marlin or, you know, I mean, some of the Marcus Gaines, some of the receivers that we signed, very involved in Sanford C, you know, and him coming here. So there was a lot of group recruiting going on with a lot of these young men. But I think when you look at this staff, I said there's a couple things that you needed at the beginning, and a recruiter is definitely one of them, because I've always said you're either a coordinator or a recruiter. Those are the things that you've got to be able to do in this business. And if you're in a coordinator, you maybe you're not on the road as much during the year. You still have an opportunity to evaluate a lot of film, but I think you've got to fill one of those two roles. You've either got to be a coordinator or you've got to be an outstanding recruiter. And we've got a group of young men that, you know, a group of coaches that get along extremely well. They work extremely well together. There's not a lot of egos on the table. It's not about, I have to sign one, so I'm going to take a guy that's not as good maybe as the guy that's in somebody else's area. And I thought they did a great job of gelling together as a staff and putting a lot of this together. But Stan makes an impact. I mean, again, we talk about having guys like Canty and Jalen and Cedric Johnson and their talents and abilities. I think this staff did a really good job with this class and what I asked out of them this year.
I covered Alex Woodall for a couple of years in Mississippi, so I obviously have a type of knowledge with him. But what did you see from him? And obviously, some might not know, but he had a Mississippi State offer.
He did.
Him as like an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a strict quarterback to you, or could he possibly down the road maybe switch positions or anything?
Right now, he's a strict quarterback. I mean, he's a guy, and I told him that I'm not bringing him here to play another position. I'm bringing him here to be a quarterback. That's what I'm bringing him. And when I look at our needs right now, we have three throwers that are in that position. And when you get into a situation, especially like we did last year, and you can't protect them, and you can't separate, and you can't catch it, and you can't, you know what I mean, throw it, you don't have a lot of production. But I think what I see is a 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 235-pound athlete that can run, that can move his feet, that I think throws the ball well enough to be a quarterback. I don't think his game right now at this stage is going to be to sit in the pocket and just be a thrower, but I think you're going to utilize a guy like him a little bit more like Auburn, you know, like Auburn utilized their quarterback, where you're going to get into more of the zone read stuff and the play-action passing that comes off of that. And I think he brings a different and unique skill set, because he's not just – an athlete, you know, as far as just speed. But when you look at his size, I mean, he has a potential to be a durable runner for you. We tried to use Ryan Higgins a little bit more in that role when we were struggling early as a kind of zone read guy that could pull it and make some things happen with his feet. And obviously, when you look back at 200 pounds, I mean, he wasn't very durable in that role. But that's one of the things that I think Alex Woodall brings to the table, is a big, physical, durable quarterback that has the athleticism to be able to be a little bit of a runner and play action passing that goes along with it.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. You're recruiting.